This is Becky Spieth, direct sales specialist and a Christian direct seller, but I'm also a follower and a daughter of the Most High God, and I'm so glad that you're here with us this morning. We've been taking prayer requests and praise reports, and I just want to just say, Lord, I'm just so thankful and honored to be here to be used by you with some of your most incredible daughters, and even I see now we have a son on the line, so praise you, Lord. We're excited about that. But for those of you that are listening to the Bible study portion here this morning, I want to ask you, have you ever been in a place that seemed simply beyond your current circumstances, and everything felt as if you were hemorrhaging and things were only getting worse? You just couldn't figure out how to stop the bleeding. I don't know for you if it's been finances, if it's been health, if it's been your business, if it's been your relationships. It could be just a myriad of things. I know I sure have. And today, I want to talk a little bit about a woman that experienced the exact same thing in the scripture, and I want to give you the formula that she used, because God tells us in his word he's not a respecter of persons, and he will do the same thing and even greater things for you. Let me give you a little bit of a background first. Jesus was traveling around through the country teaching and working miracles. And when he was doing this, he was approached by a certain ruler of the synagogue named Jairus. And Jairus knelt before Jesus, and he begged. This was a really big thing. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus was kind of like a renegade kind of preacher, teacher guy that was teaching crazy stuff. And the people in the synagogue, the leaders, were not happy about it. He was rocking their apple cart, and they were not happy. So for him to come and kneel before Jesus, this was a huge, huge moment. And Jairus knelt before Jesus and begged, which is something none of the rulers in the synagogue did. They were very pious, very proud. He said, "My little daughter lieth at the top of death, and I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her that she can be healed and she will live." That comes from Mark 5:23. And Jesus went with Jairus right away, but a lot of people followed him and thronged him. Now, I don't know if you know what that means, but that's not just like pressing in. That means like you're being squished almost like a sardine, kind of like they used to do like the runs on the concerts where you literally can't move. You can't get out. You can't get around. You just have people touching and pressing on you. It's hard to breathe. You almost feel like it's not only just in your personal space, but everybody's touching you all over the place. And as he made his way through the crowd, a woman with an issue of blood touched his robe. Let's talk about some of the facts around her. She was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. What this meant for her is that she was unclean. And if you were unclean, if you had an issue of blood, and I'm assuming hers were female issues that she was having, that you had to go to the separate tent or the separate area outside of the city, away from your family, away from everyone else, until you weren't flowing anymore, until the bleeding had stopped. And so she was away from her family, probably divorced because she couldn't take care of her children if she had children, because she couldn't come and interact with the people. And if she did, she had to cover her face and hold her hand out and scream, "Unclean, unclean," because no one was allowed to touch her, or they would have to go and get ceremonially cleansed. And she wasn't allowed to interact and go to the well and go to the regular places that women would need to go. She'd also suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing bettered, but she got worse. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, though, where you go to the doctor for your physical health and things just got worse and worse and worse, and you spent more money, and it seemed like you just were getting worse as you tried all the remedies. I know for me, at one time, I just had to say, enough's enough, and I just stopped. I went back to the Lord, went back to prayer, and found some natural things to try, and then my health started regaining. But she had tried for 12 years. She spent every bit of money that she had, and to the point where she had to beg for her own existence. It sounds to me like if she was able to seek physicians in the first place, that she was probably a very wealthy woman. So she not only lost her health, her family, she lost her identity of who she was as a woman, her place in society. She had lost everything. Well, she'd also heard of Jesus, and when she saw that he was near, she joined the throng of people following him as she made his way to Jairus' house. She said within herself, "If I only can touch his garment, I know I'll be made whole." So she had this idea in her head and her heart. Who do you think put it there? Of course, the Lord did. He was drawing her to him. He wants all of us well. He doesn't want us to have bled-out relationships, bled-out businesses, bled-out finances, bled-out energy, bled-out health, bled-out joy. He wants us to be whole. He said that he came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. Well, she came behind him and touched his hem of his garment, and as soon as she touched him, as soon, she didn't have to wait, she didn't have to beg. Now, for some of us, we don't receive our healing right away. I'm not exactly sure about all of that, and that's definitely a topic for another day. But this time, it was instantly. As soon as she touched him, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed. She knew it. She felt that warm sensation, I'm sure. If you've ever experienced healing that was supernatural from the Lord, you felt that warm sensation. And as soon as she touched him, Christ, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of himself, stopped and said, "Who touched me?" I mean, this was kind of silly. And I'm sure that's why Peter said, "Master, the multitude is just pressing in all around you. Why are you saying who's touching me?" At that point, there probably could have been a dozen people touching him. But she knew, and so did Jesus, that this was different. This woman came with faith. When the woman saw that she was unable to hide from the Lord, she came trembling and falling down before him. Part of the reason why she was so scared is because she wasn't supposed to be in the group in the first place. She was supposed to be on the outside of the city. She hadn't been declaring she was unclean. And here she was going and raining in on somebody else's parade. She butted in. He was going to Jairus's, and she just said, "Well, I got to have a little bit of that." And she butted in. She disrupted what he was doing. And she also knew that he had supernatural power and was the Son of God once she touched him. So she came before him trembling and fell down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what the reason was why she touched him. That was big. At that point, someone could have stoned her. If they didn't want to listen to the rest of it, they could have just picked up stones and stoned her. And how she was healed immediately. She wanted to just testify and share. Christ looked at her, and I want you to listen to this. This is what he said. He could have been angry, frustrated. "How dare you touch me? How dare you interrupt me? Don't you know who I am? This is not on my agenda for today. This disrupted my whole plans." He didn't. He came to her and he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Now go in peace." Wow. He turned what could have been an angry, awful, murderous throng into go in peace. And he gave this example to us in several books of the New Testament. We talked a little bit about how this woman was still under the law because Jesus hadn't died. We hadn't entered into the new covenant and rose again. She was not only considered to be unclean and had to be set apart, but that she could have got everyone else unclean at that point. Can you imagine the impact that could have happened if it really wasn't Jesus and the supernatural, powerful Son of God going to do that healing? Her unclean status would have also meant that she was probably unable to attend church or worship services. Do you feel like sometimes that you're out of the flow at church? Like you just aren't regular or you just don't kind of fit in? Do you know how great it feels when you do go to church and you get that feeding and that time to worship together? It just kind of feeds your soul and helps you get back through the rest of the week. Gives you that extra, I always think like it's my shot in the arm. It gives me that extra to my day-to-day devotions and prayers. I feel so great with it when I'm with a huge body of believers praising and worshiping our Lord. She wasn't able to do that either. I looked up what this issue of blood could have been, because it said that it was probably prolonged menstruation. It could have been caused from uterine fibroids, which are non-cancerous growths. It could have been endometriosis. It could have been a bleeding disorder. It could have been that she had clotting problems, thyroid dysfunction, glandular issues, infections, ovarian cysts, uterine polyps, or even cancer. Now, I had a similar story in my life, and I'll share that with you in just a minute, but I know there's a lot of women on the call today, so maybe you know someone that has one of these physical issues. God can heal this just like he did hers. Where's your faith? Where's your belief? Are you tenaciously pressing in, not letting your circumstances hold you back? I like the Message version of this, so I'm going to read it to you, and this one actually comes from Luke 8:43-48. In the crowd that day, there was a woman who was, for 12 years had been afflicted with hemorrhages. I'm going to stop here for a second. Again, I want you to think about this from multiple perspectives. It could be female issues, but it could be so much more. What's hemorrhaging in your life? You can't seem to stop the bleeding. She'd spent every penny she had on doctors, but not one of them had been able to help her. She slipped in from behind and touched the edge of Jesus' robe. At that very moment, her hemorrhaging stopped, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When no one stepped forward, Peter said, "But Master, we've got crowds of people on our hands. Dozens have been touching you." Jesus insisted, "Someone touched me. I felt the power discharge from me." When the woman realized that she couldn't remain hidden, she knelt trembling before him. In front of all the people, she blurted out her story, why she touched him, and how at that same moment she was healed. Jesus said, "Daughter, you took a risk trusting me, and now you're healed and whole. Live well. Live blessed." Where's the Lord asking you to take a risk in trusting him? That may be the very place you need to touch or reach out to Jesus in order to stop that bleeding and that hemorrhaging. What area in your life is bleeding or might be hemorrhaging? What are some of the keys that we notice about her story that give us clues on how to stop the hemorrhaging in our lives or in our business? Is it relationships always being to seem bled out or anemic? Might be that you still have the relationship, but it's a very anemic relationship. Is it your health, your finances, your bookings, your leadership, your lack of focus or clarity? Or maybe it's another area. Maybe you don't feel like you fit in at your church or with your team. Maybe you just don't seem to get into a regular cycle in life or in business. Maybe you just don't feel regular. What areas do you carry shame with you from others shunning you? Is there a heaviness, an area of compromise, an area of defeat or infirmity that's keeping you from God's purpose? I don't know if many of you know my story, but I almost died several times when I was 30 years old, and I literally had a miracle healing at that point. I've had two in my life. But at that point, I was dying. I was hemorrhaging, and I had hemorrhaged for years, about almost 2 years. But I wanted to have another child. I felt that the Lord had called us to have one more child, and so I didn't have the hysterectomy, and I thought I was far too young for that. But my whole life, I had had reverse cycles. I was unclean for 28 days or sometimes longer, only clean for 7. I learned to maximize my time and my energy as I was a teenager and a young woman. But as I grew and I had children, this progressed and it got worse. And I was hemorrhaging and hemorrhaging to the point where I couldn't walk or care for my family. They did eventually do an emergency hysterectomy. At that point, my body was in such a state of ketosis and shut down, absorbing all of its organs for nutrients because I was so weak that I nearly died. They put me on nutritional IVs, which I would drive 3 hours one way each day. John would drive me after he got off working a full day of work with all three toddlers, and we would go and we would drive. My oldest son had just been diagnosed with autism, and it was just barely enough to keep me hanging on. Well, my body continued to deteriorate, and after the second time, they said, "Next time when you get to this place, there's really nothing else we could do." I got to the point where the Lord was, I believe, ready to call me home. In my heart, I was ready. And my body was starting to shut down completely, and I knew I was just hours from death. So we didn't want my children to be afraid of the hospital, so my parents drove me, and my husband stayed with the kids. And they put me in this back little room to just pass away. No IV, no nothing, just ready to pass. And my dad leaned over my legs, and he prayed for me. He battled with the Lord, and he rebuked the enemy and said he was not ready to release me. I was totally fine. I was ready to be with the Lord. But because of his faith, I woke up the next morning, and I wasn't in the arms of Jesus like I thought. And the hemorrhaging had stopped. Now, mind you, I hadn't walked for months on my own. I couldn't even go to the bathroom by myself. I could barely feed myself. And the Lord stopped my hemorrhaging. And at that moment, I knew I had a call on my life. I'm fulfilling part of the call right now with you on this call, so thank you for being here. But it was to empower others to find their God-given destiny and fulfill it with all they had. And for me, the vehicle that the Lord showed up in was through direct selling. But I've helped many entrepreneurs, and I've helped many people that don't even work. I've helped many executives, CEOs, founders of companies as well. But I want to give you hope and encouragement that if you feel like you're hemorrhaging in any area of your life, the Lord will meet you if you press in with unwavering faith. I wondered if I had enough faith to do something and have something like this so miraculously happen to me. I was always faith-filled. I always believed. I was always tenacious, but never in the way I was after this moment. I've come to see that God doesn't require us to have unshakable faith, unwavering, mountain-moving kind of faith in order to work miracles in our lives. At that point, I had already released all of it to him. Sometimes, just like the woman with the issue of blood, all we need to do is have enough faith to just barely touch the hem of Jesus' garment. If we can do that, then he can use his miraculous power on our behalf. I can only imagine that after 12 years of constant blood loss, this woman must have suffered from an anemia and probably took most of her physical strength that she had to even make it to Christ. I don't even know, to be honest with you, if she was walking or crawling. I can just imagine her exhausted and almost being suffocated by the crowd, desperate to make it to Jesus. When she knew she couldn't go any further, she fell on her knees, saying within herself, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be whole." And then she reached out her hand just as he passed by. That was all it took. She didn't have to speak to him. She didn't have to tell him all what was wrong with her and what she needed and that she didn't know if she had enough faith to reach out. She just had to reach out. I loved that she was persistent and tenacious. She refused to let her belief get squashed. Compromise was not an option for her. She was not willing to just succumb to life circumstances and the standard to be lowered from God's best for her and the rest of her life. What happens next is one of my favorite parts of the story. As soon as she realized she was healed, she tried to pull back or tried to hide into the crowd. She was probably afraid because she had just touched Jesus and made him ritually unclean, as well as just about everybody else in the crowd. Once they knew she had touched them, they would all have to go and wash and change their clothes. Yet she knew that she had been healed, and she knew that Jesus knew it. When she saw that she could not hide from the Lord, she came trembling and she fell at his feet and bore testimony to the crowd of the miracle that had just happened to her. Like the woman with the issue of blood, I know that Christ can fix what seems unfixable. His power and mercy know no bounds. And all we have to do is to assess it, is to have faith to reach out and to touch his hem, just the hem of his robe. We don't have to get all up in his face. Just the hem. What possible significance do you see in the fact that the daughter of Jairus, whom Christ raised from the dead, was 12 years old, around the age the girl started menstruation, and that this woman, who also was healed by Jesus, had been suffering with her issue of blood for 12 years? Coincidence? Possibly. But I don't know. What did this woman do? First off, she was desperate. She had suffered. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. She was embarrassed. There was an affliction that she could not only feel, but made her suffer. It made her suffer physically and emotionally. She was probably weak beyond whatever we could imagine. And she endured medical cures that at that point were nearly inhumane. She'd put her faith in so many people. She'd given them all of her money. Maybe you've done the same thing, and things just got worse and more hopelessly incurable. She was destitute, but she was also earnest. When she had heard about Jesus, this was right after Jesus returned from healing the demoniacs in Gennesaret. She had heard that Jairus, an official of the synagogue, sought out Jesus. She had heard from the crowd what the crowd was saying about Jesus. She'd also heard that just previous to that, that Jesus had been healing a paralytic, a man with a shriveled hand, large crowds of people from their diseases and from their evil spirits, that he actually raised a centurion, the enemy's servant, from the dead. He raised a widow's son from the dead. Others had been healed by Jesus in Galilee just through touching him. She believed that Jesus could heal her. She believed it over and over and over again. She told herself if she could just touch his clothes, she'd be healed. That sounds kind of silly to me, but she just knew she needed to press in and get near. The other thing she was willing to do was break social taboos. Maybe you are being called to do the same thing. What is that small voice, the still small voice in your heart? What is that fire that's being kindled by the Holy Spirit telling you? I don't think we also realize that it was also not that she was unclean. It was improper for her to touch the hem of Jesus. But because she was a woman, she was restricted from touching a man in public as well. She could have been intimidated by the large, dangerous crowds. How many times have we thought, I need to talk to more people for my business. I need to get the word out there. But yet we don't press in. We don't get ourselves right in the middle of the crowd. We don't align ourselves with other people that are pressing in. We don't take our belief and our faith up to the next level. She believed Jesus would help her, even though she interrupted him as he was on his way to heal that daughter. She reached out to him. She came to him. She came up. She came up behind Jesus. She was the one that initiated. How many times do we wait for others to initiate with us? She was satisfied because Jesus received her. She was able to get her healing. She was able to stop the hemorrhaging, to stop the bleeding. Jesus saved her from her affliction. He restored her to her social standing. He also made a public declaration that the power had gone out of him, that he was willing to give this to her as a free gift, not one that was asked for or begged for. But he also made her publicly confess her healing. That's a key component to maintaining your healing. Jesus also cared for how she felt. He wouldn't have talked so kindly and so sweetly to her. He wouldn't have said, go in peace. Jesus blessed her and assured her that the affliction would not return to her. He said, be free from your suffering. Jesus saved her from her sins. And she expressed faith. How can you relate to this woman? When have you touched Christ? I want to invite every one of you to come unto Christ and to touch his robe and be healed physically and spiritually. But I also want you to know that this is our commission, to invite everyone to come to Christ, to press in and receive their healing, whatever it is, even if it's their salvation, any of these components. This woman with the issue of blood demonstrates how to obtain the healing power of God by the grace of Jesus Christ through faith that produces wholeness. The word says when she had heard of Jesus, someone told her about Jesus. If somebody hadn't told her about Jesus, she would not have known. You need to be that messenger. Your business is the perfect vehicle for that. She was obviously told the right things about Jesus. She would not have been looking for Jesus if she was hearing Can any good come out of that man from Nazareth? Or he's a Samaritan and has a devil. He deceives the people, or he casts out the devils from Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, or he breaks the Sabbath by healing. Yeah, all those things were said as well. But she chose to believe truth. She chose to believe the goodness. And many churches today, they're not preaching Jesus. They preach certain aspects about Jesus and according to their man-made doctrines, but multitudes of people have never even heard about the saving, delivering, and healing Jesus, the one that stops the hemorrhaging in our lives. I'm passionate about sharing that with others, and I hope you are too. How can they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how can they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. This is us. This is what we need to be doing, not a preacher. Now, let's think about this in regards to your business. This woman could have stayed home when she heard about Jesus. Have you ever decided to stay home, not warm chatter, or not share your business with others? Maybe you stay locked in front of your computer or on the television or trying to stay busy instead of doing business? She had many reasons to be discouraged and depressed. Can I get an amen on this? Have you ever felt discouraged or depressed? How many calls have you made, just to say the least? The scripture states that she had been sick for 12 years. Maybe you've been trying to stop the bleeding in your specific area for a very long time. Maybe you've been with your business or been at this direct selling or been trying to just break through, trying to do everything on your own and even seek mentors or doctors of your profession that were not connected to Christ. That's the difference here. She had suffered many things from many physicians and wasn't better. In fact, she kept getting worse. She had spent everything she had on doctors and still couldn't find a cure. She felt weak and tired. Jesus tells us that his yoke is light and that he will renew our strength. Maybe she didn't want to fight through the crowds to reach Jesus. That would seem honorable to me. Any normal person would say, well, she has that reason and those excuses. What do you have to push past or release from the crowds around you to press into Jesus for his touch? The Bible says the life of the body is in the blood. Literally, this woman was losing blood. Therefore, she was losing her life. However, she had hope. This hope energized her body to get out of her house, to go into the crowd. Jesus was in the crowd. I'm going to encourage you to get out of your house, get into the crowd, share Jesus. He's in the crowd, and discover your Jesus. Get into a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that does the whole gospel. That woman, our sister in Christ, went out into the crowd weak. How could this be a clue as to where we might meet Jesus in our businesses? Out in the crowd, right? Even if we feel weak. Something else to consider was she was so weak that the woman didn't touch the top of Jesus' garment. She touched the hem, which means that she was on the ground. A lesson here? Sometimes in order for us to obtain our healing, we must get on the ground, press in, and be on our knees. At this very moment, just like with this woman, you can be healed. He wants to tell you, you don't have to hemorrhage anymore. Daughter, son, you took a risk in trusting me, and now you're healed and whole. Live well and be blessed. Jesus' response was amazing to me. And I see we're at the top of the hour, so if you can bear with me for just a couple more minutes, the message is so powerful. I want to continue to share it with you instead of breaking it into a second component. But if you have to get off, know that I'm praying for you, and I love you. But Jesus' response was, when he acknowledged her testimony, Jesus' words of great comfort to her heart can comfort us today. He gave her a word of confirmation. His word confirmed that she already knew what had happened. He noticed that he calls her daughter. This signifies the fact that they are in a different relationship now. When she came, he didn't know who she was, right? But with her faith, reaching out and touching him, believing in him, now she was a daughter. She got more than just physical healing. Her faith brought her into a soul-saving relationship with Jesus. The word whole is the same word translated as saved through the New Testament. It means to be rescued from all harm and danger, to be kept safe and sound. And I don't know about you, but all means all in my dictionary. Yes, she got a whole lot more than she bargained for that day. And that's how Jesus usually shows up, as he gives us a whole lot more than we bargained for when we press in. He also gave a word of compassion to her in his response. He tells her to go in peace. His words let her know that she has done the right thing in coming to him and touching him. Any other man in the crowd would have been offended and angered had this diseased woman intentionally touched him, but not Jesus. He was not afraid of ceremonial defilement. It couldn't touch him. He knew who he was in Christ, or in the Father. He was the Christ. All he knew was that a woman in trouble had exercised a grain of faith the size of a mustard seed, and he only cared for her healing. You'll also notice that Jesus didn't ask for money for his services. What he did, he just gave out in love and grace. He also gave a word of completion. She'd already been healed, and she knew it as well as he did. But these final words of Jesus just drive home the fact that she was finally and fully free from her plague. She was healed, and life would never, ever be the same again. And I can tell you, that was the case with me. My life's never been the same again. And the Lord wants you to have the same thing in whatever your area of hemorrhaging is. He wants your life to never, ever be the same again. Her battle with this dread disease was forever finished. She had received a brand new life from the hand of the Master. I want to make one last distinction. I want you to look at the difference between this woman with the issue of blood and Naaman, the leper from the Old Testament. Naaman wanted someone to come and to heal him, but the woman with the issue of blood went looking for Jesus. She pressed through and overcame obstacles. She pressed through the crowd. She wouldn't take no for an answer. She fought the good fight of faith. She kept her focus on Jesus, and she demonstrated her faith or her confidence in Jesus by her determination. When the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus, she assessed and accessed the grace of Jesus Christ by her faith, her confidence in Jesus. This woman had heard many wonderful truths about Jesus. She believed when she touched him, she'd be whole. When she touched Jesus, the source of grace she received was amazing. She received grace for grace. This woman with the issue of blood simply believed Jesus and received the power to be whole. Jesus is your source for eternal salvation, physical healing, deliverance, prosperity, and everything that you need, according to John 10:9. God wants you to be healed, and he has provided many options for you to receive what Jesus has already provided. Jesus knew that virtue or power had went out of him. Her touch of faith made a demand on his healing power. However, if you're a born-again believer, Jesus already provided this grace to you. Isn't that great news? You're already complete in Jesus. Jesus is already inside of you. The life of God is already in you. You don't have to press through a crowd to reach Jesus like this woman did. You may have to press past your own limiting beliefs and your lack of faith. You don't have to try to get God's attention. You already have it. This woman, she had to press in because Jesus still hadn't died and provided the atonement for this sin, which caused disease. Jesus has already accomplished your salvation, your healing, your prosperity, your deliverance, and placed it in your born-again spirit as a new creation if you know him as your personal Savior. Believers aren't waiting on God to move in the New Testament. We're looking back to the cross where Jesus said, "It's finished. Just make a demand on the healing power and minister the healing power to your body. Minister it to whatever area you're hemorrhaging." Faith is not something you do that makes God move. God has already done all that he's ever going to do through Christ Jesus. Studying the Bible, confessing the word, acting on the word are all involved in the faith process, but in themselves aren't faith. Faith doesn't make God do anything. Faith just appropriates what Jesus has already done. That just gets my heart just so excited. We just need to receive it by saying thank you and walking in that freedom and healing, even if we don't see it instantly. It's like if you go and you buy a gift for someone on Monday, even though you're not going to be giving the gift to the recipient for several days. It doesn't mean that the gift isn't theirs, right? It's already been paid for. Jesus already paid for your hemorrhaging to stop, your healing to take place. It's ours. Faith, it tells us in the Word, is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's already ours. It's there. It's tangible. Walk it out in faith, because faith without works is dead. I want to encourage you today to press in to the press in today. Stop the hemorrhaging. Live well. Be blessed. And stop the bleeding. Well, I hope this ministered to your heart today. I know God has a miracle, and He will do it for you. It might be an instant stop to the hemorrhaging. It may be that you receive it by faith now and you walk it out. But receive it today. Does anyone else have a prayer request before we go into prayer time today? Or a praise report?
Hi, Becky. This is Edwina.
Hi, Edwina.
That was an awesome, awesome message. And it just had so many nuggets. I don't think I could write fast enough, but I was writing revelations. And it was just the one thing that I walk away with is that she heard about Jesus. She believed, but she acted upon what she believed.
Yes.
And it's such a nugget. Just still need prayer for my son in that situation, and prayerfully, we actually going to be selling. We are still, a house is going to be up for sale this week. We're meeting with the realtor this week, so same prayer.
Yeah.
But God said, ask doesn't have an end. And I'm going to be that certain woman He talked about in Luke 18. Just keep asking. Not that I don't believe, but I just need to constantly hear and have my faith renewed by hearing my own self say it.
Can I encourage you with something?
Please.
I want to tell you a little another analogy about this gift. If I bought you a gift, Edwina, and I gave it to you, what would you say?
Thank you.
You'd say thank you, right? Would you keep saying, please give me the gift, please give me the gift? I'd look at you like, you've got the gift. It's in your hands. I gave it to you.
Thank you.
I want to encourage you. You don't have to ask Him. Just thank Him and continue to praise Him for it. The power that comes from that is unbelievable.
I receive it. I started that, and it's interesting that you would say that because I did it Saturday. And I said, I won't ask you for anything today, God. I'm just going to thank you.
Yes.
And I thank you. That is such confirmation. I receive it.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's right for us to ask. I don't want people that are listening to think, well, I can't ask God. Yes, He tells us that we don't receive things if we don't ask Him. But once we've asked, we don't have to ask over and over and over again.
I receive it.
Awesome. Anyone else have a prayer request or a praise report before we go into prayer? Again, thank you for staying on the line a few extra minutes. The Lord just had laid that on my, just downloaded that message to me earlier in the week. Actually, it was last Monday, and I knew I had to share it. And so, and He wanted me to share it in its entirety, so I honor you for staying on a little bit of extra time today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, You are magnificent. You are amazing. You are wonderful beyond measure. We love You and we praise You and we glorify You. Thank You for giving us stories and examples that build our faith, that show us how You work and how You want to work in and through our lives. And Lord, we humbly just say thank You for letting us be a small part of building Your kingdom. Help us to be faithful with what You've given us, Lord. And Lord, thank You for right now, in Jesus' name, we just thank You for this healing, that the hemorrhaging is stopping in all areas of our lives. Lord, I thank You that You've given us the tenacity to press in. Lord, that even if we've been on our knees for a very long time, or we're weak, or we feel like we've just been bled out, or we're anemic, Lord, that You still care. And that we don't have to beg or get in Your face, that we can come to You right where we are, reach out, press in, grab a hold of Your garment, and that's more than enough. That we do that, and I say that in like a metaphorical way, Lord, and I know that You understand that it's my head and my heart, that it's not that we physically have to find Your robe and go touch it, but that because You live within us, we have to bring ourselves to that place of faith and belief. And Lord, I pray that You will help faith to rise up in each and every person here. And You tell us in Your word that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we need to hear Your word over and over again. Lord, I lift up to You Judy, Lord. She's looking that she will only find her acceptance in You and nothing else. Confirm that in her. You called this woman with the issue of blood daughter. Help Judy to truly feel how precious and sweet she is, and hear your precious, amazing, sweet words. Call her daughter. Be in peace. Be blessed. Live well. You're free. Just like you did the woman of the issue of blood. And Lord, I ask that you would restore back to Kimberly everything that was taken by the enemy. Lord, I ask that she would have restoration and acceleration. I join my faith with hers. But Lord, specifically, we lift this computer to you. Lord, but we do ask that everything that's been taken from her is restored. That you would stop the hemorrhaging in the areas of her life. Help her to see if there's an area that she needs to surrender to you, like we all have, or a limiting belief, or whatever the issue is, Lord. We surrender our hearts completely before you in every area. And Lord, if we've been unfaithful with our tithe, I know, Lord, that that also opens up the door to the enemy and allows him to come and to steal from us and come into our storehouse, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that if that's a sin that we've committed, Lord, that you would help us to repent and restore that. Because we want no doors open to the enemy. And Lord, for Carol, I just praise God for her health and keep her on focus and not worn out as she regains her strength, that you promise to do that for her, Lord, and that she will get back into the rhythm and pace, get back into that regular cycle of business, or maybe a new cycle, and that she's back on track. And Father, we just bless Edwina, Lord, right now with the peace and the revelation and understanding. I pray that that takes deep, deep root in her heart, that from today she will never be the same. Lord, we also ask that you will continue to just we're just going to thank you for it. We're not going to ask again, Lord. We're just going to continue to thank you that things that they do have favor with their son and this issue that he's been going through with the court system, and that the meeting goes well with the realtor, that they select the right realtor, that you bring favor that goes out before them, that you've already got the buyer being prepared, that they're already getting their finances and their mortgage in place if they need to get a mortgage to pay for the property, Lord, but the perfect family moves there. And the next location and the next step for Edwina and her husband is a beautiful home that's filled with your peace to be used for your kingdom. Lord, I ask a blessing upon each and every person here, the same one that you gave your daughter. Go in peace, live well, be blessed. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that we now have received our healing. We're just going to thank you and praise you for it. We've received our healing from the hemorrhaging and eddying area of our life. It's stopped. It's dried up. We are whole. We praise you and we give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, thanks for another call this week, ladies. I will try to do my best, unless the Lord gives me another big, long download, to keep it to just a half hour, including prayer. But I know God's got a special blessing for you this week. Take this word. Let it get deep in your hearts, because he wants transformation. He's raising up his girls and his guys right now. In a new, magnificent way, we are on the verge of a huge breakthrough, and I think we're going to see a huge shaking in the spiritual realm and so many blessings here. And he's using this to help prepare you so that you can be that person that he wanted you to be, moving in his best. I just see blessing upon blessing coming before you. He doesn't want you hemorrhaged out. He wants to bless you and have it be all working in and through you. Have a magnificent week, and I will talk with you next week at 8:30. Bye now.